Well, I hope you got to listen to last week's teaching because it's sort of an introduction to this week. We talked about Jesus last week, and we talked about him as the fulfillment. He fulfilled the covenant that God made with Abraham. He fulfilled the covenant that God made with David. And he also fulfilled the covenant that God made through Moses for the people of God. And so what I want to do tonight, we talked about Jesus as Moses, or really Moses as a shadow of Jesus who was to come, and how Jesus takes it further. And so this week I want to talk a bit about how Jesus takes the whole idea of the Word of God further. And then next week, I want to talk about how Jesus takes the whole idea of the tabernacle further. And then the next week, we will talk about how Jesus takes redemption further, salvation further. it was a good law that they had in the Old Testament, but the word we have is better. It was a great, magnificent tabernacle, and God filled it in the Old Testament. But oh my goodness, to be the tabernacle of God is amazing. And yes, I'm sure it was awesome to get out of jail, to leave Egypt, but my goodness, to be set free from sin is so amazing. And so we'll talk about those three things tonight. We'll talk about how Jesus brings the word to an even greater fulfillment. And so, if you'll remember does anybody remember the theme of Genesis? Anybody? The theme that I gave. I mean, every commentary has a different... This is the theme of the book. But does anybody remember the theme that I worked with? Oh, my goodness. How did you... I couldn't even remember. I had to look it up. No, I knew because it came to my mind. Yes, it was about blessing. It was about blessing. And so each of the covenants that God gives is a covenant of blessing. Abraham was blessed, and he was going to become a great nation and do what? Bless other nations. David was going to be blessed, and his son was going to be blessed after him, and then the kingdom of God would be their kingdom continuing would be that blessing. But oh my goodness, in Deuteronomy, over and over and over, God says, I want you to keep my word so you can be a good Israelite. No, he says, I want you to keep my word so I can bless you. By living like you're supposed to, you receive the blessing of God. And so Jesus is going to come, and he is going to bring a new covenant, a greater covenant, the book of Hebrews tells us, than any of the other covenants. And so the covenant of Moses came after the covenant of Abraham. But then later on, the covenant of David came. But then after that, those didn't seem to get fulfilled, and the nation of Israel became darker and darker. And then you get the prophets. And the prophets sort of gather up in their heart all of these promises. And they're before God. And God begins to speak to them. And they begin to get a revelation of how all of those covenants are going to be kept in God. And so I want to read to you the words of two prophets before we get into Matthew chapter 5 tonight. The first one is Jeremiah, and we'll just read it. If you have your Bible, you can turn there, or you can just mark it in the notes. So Abraham, you're going to be blessed. You're going to become a nation and bless the other nations. You people, if you keep my word, you will receive a land, and you will be blessed in that land. David, you will be blessed, and your kingdom, you will always have a son sitting on the kingdom. It's dark. There is no king in Israel. There is no king in Judah. They aren't a very big nation. They're just a ragtag remnant of a nation. And to be quite honest, they haven't been able to keep the word. And that's why they went into captivity. Now they're back, but they still struggle. But oh, there's hope. And these prophets, in the midst of before they even go into captivity, they begin to prophesy about a day when they'll come back, but an even greater day that would come about 500 years later. So listen to these prophecies written about 500 or 600 years before our reading tonight. Jeremiah 31, 32 through 34. And just listen to this, and you can do the teaching yourself. I'm going to, 32 says, not like a covenant that I made with their fathers. He's talking about this new covenant he's going to make. It's not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. What covenant was that? The covenant with Moses. The covenant at Sinai. It's not going to be like that covenant that I made when I took them by the hand and led them out. My covenant that they broke. I like the way Jeremiah writes. It's not going to be like the covenant that I gave them when I took them by their hand and I led them out, which, by the way, they broke that covenant. Though I was their husband, declares the Lord. And so Jeremiah really captures sort of the feeling of God, the pathos of God. I made covenant. You start off taking by the hand. I was actually a husband to them. And this brings up sort of the thought of adultery, that Israel has been adulterous. It's not going to be like that covenant that they broke. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. I will be able to put my law in their heart. Moses came down off the mountain with tablets of stone. We have a heart of stone. But God is able to remove that heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh and then write his word on our hearts. Ezekiel says it this way. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel was just a little bit later than Jeremiah. 26 and 27. And I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. A new heart and a new spirit. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now listen to this. And I will, listen very closely. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. I'm going to put my spirit inside of you, and that is going to cause you to keep my word. Now remember, God wants us to keep his word so that we will be blessed. Because we had hearts of stone, we could not receive the law and we could not keep it. But God says, I'm going to get what I want out of your life. I am going to make you a blessed people because I'm going to cause you to keep my word, because I'm going to make a way for my spirit to live inside of you. Hallelujah. Oh God, deliver me. How? God, how shall I be delivered from this body of flesh? I praise God through Jesus Christ my Lord. So then we that are led of the Spirit shall no longer fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh my goodness, what a better covenant we have. This is God, creator of the universe, who has spoken over you this new covenant. I'm putting a new heart inside of you. See, the problem is, we could not live like we needed to live because our hearts were fleshly, or they were worldly and covered over and hardened. But God puts a softened heart of flesh inside of us, and now He can relate to us on the inside by His Spirit. See, Moses came down off the mountain and gave them the Word of God from the outside. Jesus came down off of the cross and put the Word of God on the inside. And now God leads us from the inside. Somebody say, hallelujah. So the idea is blessing. The idea is blessing. And so we're going to go to when Jesus comes down off the mount, or He comes down out of the wilderness. Moses had to deliver them from bondage so that they could go out in the wilderness and receive the Word. Jesus delivered us from sin so we could receive the Word on the inside. Now, what we're going to read is before the act, before the new covenant is enacted. That happens at the end of the life of Jesus. But He begins to lay the foundation so people understand what's coming and how this is going to be fulfilled. And so we're going to look at that in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 tonight. We're certainly not going to go through. People have written at least three volumes on like a three-volume set on the Beatitudes. I don't know the longest set on the Sermon on the Mount, but it's probably six or seven books. So we're certainly not going to get through that tonight. But I want us to open it up, and I want to give you some perspectives so that you can go to it and you can study it. And so it starts off, this sermon, where Jesus is giving the Word. This is how the Word is going to work in your life now. We had the Ten Commandments, we had the Old Testament, we had Deuteronomy trying to do it, but I'm going to fulfill it. And so He starts and He says, first of all, you children of Abraham, you descendants of David, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you that there's a certain kind of people that are different from what you would expect to be the delivered people of God, kings and priests that are going to rule in the world and bring the kingdom. They're very, very different. First of all, I'm going to put my blessing on them. And so remember what blessing is. Blessing is, I think I have a definition here. Oh, it's at the end. God was always blessing. In Genesis, God blessed Abraham. In Numbers, God gave a blessing for Aaron to speak over the people. Here's the blessing. This is how you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I will bless them. Deuteronomy 30:16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, and His statutes, and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Bible ends with blessing. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are they that do His commandments. It didn't say you'll get to heaven if you do His commandments. It says that you will be blessed. So, what is blessing? This is just one of my lexicons. It says, It pertains to being fortunate or happy because of circumstances. Fortunate or happy. To being especially favored or blessed or privileged. So those are just some Greek or some definitions from some lexicons that go back and they study the way the word was used in the culture at that time. So a good word would be happy. But it's very hard to explain what that word means. So let me talk a little bit and just leave an impression of what being blessed might be. I've got a different kind of cough drop in my mouth, and it doesn't move around as easy as the other ones used to. So there is within you, as a human being, a desire. And that desire is to be blessed. It's that simple. You desire to be blessed. That desire is expressed in a lot of ways. It's fulfilled in a lot of ways. When I mow a lawn, I am blessed. As a pastor, I have ongoing projects. Some are people, some are things. And my life is never finished. I go to bed with work to do. Sometimes I get up in the middle of the night and do work. And I wake up with work to do. It's just never finished. Mowing a lawn is such a blessing. Because I take my lawnmower. Some grass is tall, some's not as tall. And I mow it. And we used to have a lawn company, so I bought the best equipment. I've got a professional lawn blower. I've got an edger. I got a trimmer. So when I can get out there and I can use my edger, my trimmer, my blower, you know, and sometimes I bag the grass, and I look, and this is just the way it's supposed to be. It's a moment in my life. That's blessing. Just the way things are supposed to be. You intuitively know the way things are supposed to be. But a lot of times your mind doesn't connect with your intuition. But I'm going to tell you, you know just the way the things are going to be. And you long for it. And you try to find it. And to the degree that you're connected with God, who knows exactly what that is, you will find it. But to the degree that you still let your mind be shaped by the world, you are never going to find that place of blessedness. And so to me, blessedness or happiness is when things are just right. But just right in the sense that God knows exactly how He created me and exactly what I need. And I can come to that place if I will just simply read the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to lead me in walking in that Word, and everything becomes just right. Is that kind of getting you there a little bit? Let me look at some other things. Have you ever read a story or maybe a report, and at the end it says, "And a good time was had by all." Somebody has just completed something, everything went exactly like it was supposed to be, and ta-da, it couldn't be better. Have you ever read a story? Maybe you haven't, but there, I forgot what story it is, but there's a story somewhere and it ends, and they all lived happily ever after. You ever read a story that ends that way? That's blessed. It goes through this conflict, whatever it is, but in the end, everything's just exactly like it's supposed to be. And everybody lives happily ever after. See, that happily ever after, that taps into this whole idea that you know that life is supposed to be a certain way and you want it to be that way. Blessedness is when you live in that way. But again, remember, because we were in bondage to sin and our mind has been warped, we still try to pursue what we think blessedness is, what happiness is, the way we think. And that really short circuits the process. So we've got to get our mind in agreement with what God has put in our heart. And we do that by reading the Word and diligently letting it guide us through our life. Have you ever heard anybody say, it wasn't supposed to be this way? Google it. You'll find it everywhere. So once upon a time, there was a little golden-haired girl wandering in the woods. She saw a little cottage and knocked on the door. No one was there. And she opened the door and she went in. And she noticed that there were three bowls on the table. It was porridge. And so she went over to the largest bowl and she took a bite. And she said, oh, it's too hot. And then she took a bite of the middle-sized bowl. And she said, oh, that's too cold. And then she went to the smallest bowl and took a bite. And she said, ah, just right. She thought she'd go rest in the living room. There was a big chair. She sat in it. It was too hard. She sat in the middle-sized chair, and it was too soft. She sat in the little chair, and it was... Well, she got sleepy. She went to the bedroom. First, she laid in the big bed, and the big bed was too hard. Then, she laid in the little bed, and it was too soft. But then she sat in the little bed, and it was just right. God wants to make your life just right. For Papa Bear, the hard bed was just right. For Mama Bear, the soft bed was just right. But for Baby Bear and Goldilocks, the little bed was just right. God created you. God knows you. And God knows what's just right for you. So this whole thing, God wants your life to be just right. You can kind of think about that as what blessedness is. God wants to come into your life and bless you. He wants to make you happy. He wants to respond to that intuitive desire for things to be right with the knowledge of the Word of God and to lead you into that so you can live. I could stop here, and I think you could go home and ponder this. You probably have some unrequited desire inside of you, some longing, some frustration, some, I think this should be better. God wants to make that better in one of two ways, either to reveal to you that's where you need to be and there's a lie living in your head, or number two, to change the circumstance. God wants to bless you and wants you to be at peace with who you are, where you are, and the part you play. And so he goes and he says, I want you to understand the kind of people that are going to come into this just right place. Because I think most of us think in order for it to be just right, we have to have a six-digit, what do they call it? A six-figure salary. That's it. Or we have to have a summer home in the mountains. Or we have to look a certain way if everything's going to be just right. And so we think about the people who have things just right are the ones who don't flunk out of college. Or the ones who don't end up with some ailment that inhibits them from living that athletic life. So people who are prettier than me, those are the people who really have lives that are just right. I will live my nominal, get-through-it kind of life, but I'll never be that guy or that woman And so Jesus begins by saying, God is going to bless his people. I have called you to be my representatives in the earth. And let me tell you, if you don't think you're that kind of people, let me tell you the kind of people that my kingdom is going to come to. So he gives these conditions. The first condition he gives is poor in spirit. A person who is poor in spirit is someone who is to the place in their life where they can't really make it on their own. They're dependent on others. And when we talk about spiritually, it just talks about their life and who they are. Just who I am, I need help. Blessed is the person who needs help, because they will see the kingdom of God. The place where Jesus comes and rules in the earth. And Jesus rules by making you a king. Jesus rules through his people. If you're the kind of person who feels like, I'm never going to amount to anything, I'm always going to be dependent on other people, I just never live up, hallelujah. You know the kind of person that's going to come to the place that everything is, yes, absolutely. And so he goes down through these conditions. And let's just look at the conditions real quick. I'm not going to try to define them all. But Jesus says, I am going to fulfill this covenant. History has moved ahead and man has not been able to do it. But now there's a new covenant. And in this covenant, God my Father has said that he's going to come down. And although you couldn't keep it when it came from the outside, he can cultivate it on the inside. And you're going to become blessed because you're going to be able to keep the word, because he's going to keep it inside of you. He's going to cause you to walk in his word. So those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn. Now, I've heard people try to spiritualize it, but, and I'm not going to say there's not a lot of other things that it could mean. But I mean people who have taken a lick in life. And they have reason to believe that life is not going to get better. And they're just stuck in that place. And usually when we think of mourning, we think of death. But somehow, death of this world has caused them to be people who mourn because of a loss, because of death of a vision, a loss of something or someone that you love, a broken relationship, a death of a loved one, a hearing of somebody that has been a friend of yours in the past and they've gone off the deep end. Blessed are they that mourn. That person is going to be blessed because they're going to come to a place of comfort and they're going to be able to live in the face of death in the comfort of God. See? So with every condition, out of the kingdom is going to become the response of God. And although they might be in that place of mourning, somehow God is going to bring them comfort and everything is going to be just right. Everything's going to be just right. So again, Jesus right off the bat says, look, no, I'm not going to come and gather all the pretty people, all the smart people, all the rich people, all the athletic people. I'm going to come and the kind of people that are going to be able to lean into and receive my promise are those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. It didn't say people who are perfect. It didn't say people who are walking righteous. The person who says, I just can't keep it together, but I want to walk in righteousness. They're going to be filled. And what do you think they're going to be filled with? They're going to be filled by the Holy Spirit sent by the same God who made the covenant. I'm going to put a new heart in you. And I'm going to cause you to keep my word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Blessed are the merciful. Not the baron who runs through humanity, gathering all he can from every person and exacting every penny. But the person who, to his own hurt, extends mercy to the people around him. The person who gets used. The person that we think will never get ahead. They may make some stupid moves. But you know what? Everything's going to be just right. Because there's a bigger mercy giver than them. And they can never out-mercy God. The pure in heart. The word pure just means unmixed. Those people who have just set their heart on God. That's a great qualification. You don't have to be smart. Sometimes it's easier for a dumb person to just concentrate on one thing. Blessed are the pure in heart, unmixed. My heart is not seeking after something else. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Everything's going to be just right. When you live your life, and I'll come back to this one in a minute. When you live your life like you should, there could be persecution. We may not suffer it, but we have something that's close. It's not persecution. And I'll talk about that in just a second. But it's these conditions, these kind of people, God wants to make everything just right. And that just rightness is, this is the response. Wherever you are, God has a response for you. If you just don't think you can make it, guess what? He's going to give you the kingdom of God. If you're mourning, he's going to comfort you. If you're meek and not asserting yourself, God's going to assert himself through you, and he's going to give you the earth. You're going to have power and authority in the earth. Thirsting after righteousness, you'll be filled. Giving mercy, you'll receive mercy. If you are pure in heart, remember he said in the Old Testament several times, you will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with your whole heart. A whole heart is a pure heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. What did Jesus come to do? He came to bring peace. He was called the Prince of Peace. Those of us who go forth making peace, the Bible says we too will be called the sons of God. And that is just right. So he begins this first sermon and he says, all right, disciples, they've sat down. He's talking to disciples, not the 12. He hasn't chosen the 12 yet. There's, I think, 4 or 5 of them have been chosen. But a crowd is there, and many of them are now followers. They want to learn. And he says, all right, guys, let me just right off the bat let you know you're not going to move to the head of the class because your daddy's rich. God is going to bless those who don't stand in their own ability, but they have this kind of need and dependency for God. Does that make sense? All right, so he goes on, and then let's go to the next section here in this sermon, and this is where I'll come back to those last couple. When you shall be persecuted, when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you for his name's sake. He comes right out of that, and he says, you are the salt of the earth. And then he goes on and he says, if you lose your savor, where will the earth be salted? And then he goes on and he says, you're also the light of the world. And nobody takes a light and hides it under a bushel, but they put it on a stick, on a candlestick, so that the world will be lighted. And so remember the kind of people he's talking to. They've got this mentality of, I'm not going to make it. I need help. sometimes kind of embarrassed about their life. And Jesus says, no, man, what I'm doing in you delivers the world. Don't be ashamed of who you are and what I'm doing in your life. Get out of the mentality of I'm a loser. I am redeemed, and God is doing a work inside of me. I am a testament of what God can do. And so, you know, I always read this and I thought, oh, you know, you got to let your light shine. You got to get out there. No, don't be ashamed of who you are. And don't be ashamed to step in to the fray. Don't be ashamed at work because of the way you live because of God. Be bold because he says that you're the light of the world. So put yourself out there. All right, disciples? You know what kind of people we are. We're just right, and we know it. The world will think you're not right because they don't know what right is. So they need right in front of them so they can see what it is. Amen? And then he goes on and he says, now, I'm not lowering the standards. I'm not saying we're all a bunch of losers and now we're just going to drag everybody into heaven. No, here's what I'm telling you. Our lives are going to be absolutely what they're supposed to be because I'm creating a new nation and I can do it because it's inside of you and you are going to be able to keep the word of God. Not one word that Moses spoke is going to pass away. I'm going to fulfill all of that and even more. I'm going to do more than the Ten Commandments. I'm going to bring you into absolute perfection. And that's going to shine. And then he begins to speak. Verse 17. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So I think he's making sure that he undoes any of this mentality that might be, well, okay, so we're going to have mercy, we're going to have God, so, you know, I'm sure he'll do his best, but we're never going to be there. It's kind of like Paul over in Romans chapter 6. It's talking about grace, grace, grace. He's delivered you, he's forgiven you, he's given you the ability to walk in righteousness, to walk right before God. And then he comes and says, so what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Jesus here says, hey, wait a minute. But don't think that I'm abolishing the law. I came to fulfill it. And he meant fulfill it. He meant do it. And then it goes into a reframing and a deepening of the law that was given in Deuteronomy. It goes way beyond it. I count 17 different sections as we move ahead, okay? And in those sections, he'll take a topic. Perhaps it's forgiveness. Perhaps it's lust. Perhaps it's the way you deal with finances. And he takes it to the nth degree. He takes it to perfection. He takes it to where it's just right. And the implication here is that in this new covenant, God is going to do a miracle, and you are going to live just right in relation to your sexuality. You're going to be at peace, and you're going to be just right as it comes to sexuality. Your finances, the way they're handled, and the way you relate to them, it's going to be just right. Doesn't say you're going to be filthy rich. Doesn't say you're going to be poor. Doesn't say anything about it. It just says it's going to be just right. You are going to live in relation to everything just right. He's going to talk about when people do you wrong. He's going to talk to you about materialism. And he's going to take it further than just some little rules about, you know, take care of the widows, take care of the orphans. He's going to take it down to the very heart issue. And he's going to make you just right. And then in the end, he's going to say, here's the deal. Let's read it. Go to the end of chapter 7. All right. You're the blessed people. I've chosen you. Your condition when you come may not be what the world sees as amazing, but I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make everything just right. And then I'm going to use you and these lives you live to demonstrate who I am. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to call on that word of God inside of you, and I'm going to pull it out, and it's going to be a light. And everybody out there that's trying to figure out what's just right, they're going to see just right. I think we might name our next church Just Right Christian Fellowship, because that's what God's doing. He's making everything just right, blessed. Not too much, not too little, but just right. Just the way it's supposed to be. We live the perfect lives. God is bringing us into it. So he says, so then, if you hear what I'm telling you and you do them, you'll be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And what is the rock? It is hearing the word of God and doing it. Mankind was unable to do it until God himself took up abode in our hearts. And now he is bringing us to perfection as we come into agreement with him. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Hallelujah. It's also scary to sit under the word of God and not do it. And I'm just going to be honest. As a pastor of 45 years, I know some people who sat under the Word of God. And rather than memorizing it and meditating on it, rather than reading it faithfully and getting it inside of them, they continue to believe the lies and pursue what they thought would make life just right. And great was the fall of their house because they never found that place of peace. As a pastor of 45 years, I'd like to say this. I know some people. I know some people who have submitted to the Word of God. And their life is like my mom's vegetable soup. It just simmers and get better and better and better until it reaches perfection. And it's just right. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen people who have said, I'm no longer going to pursue what the world tells me, but I really am going to become a student of the Word, and I'm going to come alive to what's inside of me. Hallelujah. And they are blessed. They inherit the earth. They've inherited the kingdom of God. They're filled. They're at peace. They're comforted. they're awesome. And that's God's intent in your life. Whoever you are, whatever condition you're in, He has a response for you. And it's making everything just right. It's by blessing you with the perfect response to your life as you submit to what He has done in His Son on the cross. Hallelujah. This is who we are. This is what we're doing. Just Right Christian Fellowship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is us. Let's worship God.